You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Braves, the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country! Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale's Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're in Braves Country.
Good Thursday to you, Braves Country. as, well, we took it on the chin again, not playing great baseball. I still think they're shaking the cobwebs out as the Atlanta Braves drop the series to Philly. The sky is not falling. Relax. As Aaron Rodgers once said, before he ripped his Achilles and broke the entire hearts of New York City, R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We still have 10 days, 10 games, 11 days to get our act together. And I do think the push starts tonight. You're going to see a team that is going to go out and try to play to the best of their ability for the next week or so. Now, don't expect once they wrap everything up for it to be all in, but that will be the name of the game starting tonight. Max Fried is back. He's taken the bump. Remember, he would have pitched in the Philly series. That changes the series quite a bit, right? He would have pitched in the Philly series, most likely would have faced Zach Wheeler. Instead, they pushed everybody around, and Fried's going tonight. Remember the reason why, for those of y'all who may have, you know, kind of slipped your mind, or maybe you just didn't get the memo. It happens. He had what was developing in, or could have developed into, a blister. We'll put it that way. It's what they're calling a hot spot on his finger. Everybody knows what he's talking about. Just basically something you're like, man, that could turn into something. And because of that, they decided to let him rest, get a couple extra days off. And I think they're trying to set him up as well. If you look at it, if you kind of pitch it forward, I think they're trying to set this up for him to pitch tonight. We'll see how they play this out. We're going to get into the season series. This is the series preview of Braves Nationals. We're going to go through the entire series and kind of look ahead. But right now, you would suspect that they are going to pitch him tonight. And depending on what their philosophy would be, I told you how I thought my philosophy would be a couple of shows ago. I'll go over it again. The way it lays out, I would prefer to see Max Fried pitch tonight, Max Fried pitch next Friday night, and then that would give him about a week between that start and the beginning of the postseason. They might fiddle with it a little bit, but that would be essentially what I would want to do. Charlie Morton is set to pitch Friday. Because Spencer Strider is my game two pitcher in the playoffs. And you make it the argument game one pitcher, but I think you got to go Max Fried. Because Spencer Strider is my game two pitcher, he is set to pitch this Sunday. He pitched Tuesday, he pitched Sunday. Now that could change, but right now he's pitching Sunday. I would have Max pitch today, have Max pitch next Friday, giving him just over a week in between starts. Have Spencer pitch Sunday, maybe even a shorter start on Sunday, and then pitch Saturday. So I guess it still gives him six days in between. And then that would give him about 8 days in between starts. And then that would mean Charlie Morton, who's scheduled to pitch tomorrow night, I would then have him pitch next week, probably. If you don't want to take it all the way to Sunday, if you want to rest everybody on Sunday, you just want to like a Bobo game, then you could bump all this up. But I personally would want Charlie to pitch a few innings on Sunday to keep him loose. What you could do with Charlie is this. You could pitch him Friday and then wait till next week to pitch. Now, remember something else you could do, too. Because we're talking about the tail end of these series. We're talking about the end of the Washington series, the end, you know, the end of the season. Those games shouldn't matter, hopefully, if the Braves play well. You could do a combination. You don't just have to have Charlie Morton start day A, Max Fried day B, going into the put. You could do a thing where they piggyback off each other next weekend. So there's that option as well. And I'm telling you right now, I'm leaning more and more, but I do want to see what he looks like on Saturday. But I'm leaning more and more where I want Kyle Wright as my game four starter. I'm sorry, but Bryce Elder is killing us with those walks. And he doesn't have the velocity. Remember, Spencer Strider went through some of this as well. And this is just what young pitchers do. There are people out there freaking out. Talking about, we ought to DFA him. It's ridiculous. Get rid of him. All right, first of all, put whatever you're smoking down. We got to send him down. No. This is long-term with Bryce Elder. Bryce Elder is going to be a part of this rotation for a long way to go, right? So with that being said, I'm not feeling very comfortable with Bryce Elder being our starting pitcher in the postseason. And maybe they can work with him. Maybe he shows signs of other things. And there's still that possibility. You play the NLDS. And we got to put our best foot forward in the NLDS. Because it's only a best of five, which sucks. I don't think anybody beats this Atlanta Braves team in a best of seven. The one I'm most worried about is whoever we face in the best of five. It could be Philly. But Philly's starting to smell themselves a little bit. We kind of saw that in the Philly-Braves series, right? Whoever they face in the NLDS, whoever makes it out of that first round, they get an advantage only having to beat the Braves three times out of five. They just do. This Braves team, to beat them four out of seven, that is going to be a tough task. The Braves can get through, I'm going to say it right now, if the Braves can get through the NLDS, your Atlanta Braves are marching through the World Series. I firmly believe that. So we've got to put our best foot forward in the NLDS, meaning I want Max Fried, Strider, Charlie Morton, and then probably, at this point, Kyle Wright. Now, if Kyle Wright goes out Saturday and plays pitches terribly, then I'm resetting everything, and you could talk me into a number of different options. You could talk me into a bullpen game. You could talk me into a combination where A.J. Smith-Shawver comes out of nowhere. You could talk me into a combination where a lot of guys who aren't currently on the roster could make a bullpen game. But as far as if we're looking for traditional starts, I'm leaning Kyle Wright because the guy's stuff is starting to look good. I know he didn't have a great outing against Philadelphia, but hey, that wasn't fair to Kyle Wright. It was the second start in 4 months, and both starts come against the same team in a week. That is a recipe for disaster, especially when that offense is one of the best offenses in baseball. It's a different argument if you're saying, well, he's facing the Royals twice in a week. But he's facing the Phillies, who have a veteran lineup, and it's not fair to put that on him. Also, game four will be on the road. I'm not loving the idea of Bryce Elder being on the road. I'm just not. If his sinker isn't hitting, and he starts nibbling with that slider, and God forbid we have Travis d'Arnaud behind the plate when he is on the mound. Travis d'Arnaud loves to call the nibblers because it worked in 2021, so he's leaning on that experience, but we had a different pitching staff back then. And if all that falls into place, I'm telling you right now, it's going to be an absolute disaster because he starts off, if he gets in any kind of trouble, if he starts walking guys, he doesn't have the stuff to strike guys out. He's a pitch-to-contact guy. That's going to get you in trouble against a good offense. If it's Philadelphia, we saw what happened. If it's against the Cubs, and we should see Bryce Elder in the Cubs series, see how he does, but if he is out there nibbling around the edges, it's going to be a problem. So the main theme to this weekend on the Braves, not only do we want to get back on the winning track, I think we need to win three or four. A sweep would be grand, but we need to win three or four just to set the tone of, hey, let's crank it up. Let's get serious. Even though it's on the road, let's crank it up. Then we come home against the Cubs and we finish it off against the Nationals. And the Cubs are scuffling. If you haven't paid attention to that, we're going to look at the wild card in a little bit just to give you all an idea of what's going on in the National League. But that's an absolute disaster. I mean, the Cubs, by the way, Spencer Strider's back in that argument for the Cy Young. And I have been on record telling you I didn't think that he had a shot because of the way that Snell and Steele had been pitching. Justin Steele spit the bit last night. He was awful. He was awful against the Pittsburgh Pirates in his own home stadium. I mean, I don't care what anyone tries to tell you. Your biggest Cubs fan can't talk the way around that. And I know Strider's had some bad outings, but usually it goes off the momentum to the end of the season. Justin Steele last night, 3 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits allowed. He did have 6 strikeouts, but who gives a damn? 3 innings, 6 earned runs, and 8 strikeouts. That was awful. And the Cubs lost another one, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is his ERA shot up to 3, and I know you can look at it long term and big picture kind of stuff, but I'm telling you that right there, that kills your Cy Young race. I really think it's a 2-pitcher race now between Spencer Strider in his last 2 starts and Blake Snell, who should have 2 starts left. Right now, the leader in the clubhouse would be Snell, but Strider does have a couple things to lean on. The voter who won't vote for him because the Padres were an absolute disappointment. Now, that didn't used to matter when we talk about the Cy Young race. No one used to care about that. But I have heard some of your national guys bloviate about the fact that they won't vote for a guy high in the race if their team is not doing well, because they're going to look at it as it's his fault. Now, I don't look at it that way. I mean, I remember it's been within the past decade or so that Felix Hernandez, King Felix, won the AL Cy Young with a losing record, but a very low ERA and a very low whip. But Spencer Strider can lean on a couple things. A, he's on the best team in baseball, and he's helped him get there. Blake Snell won't be in the playoffs, and the way the Cubs are playing, they won't be in the playoffs. And if they are in the playoffs, it's to no thanks of Justin Steele. Justin Steele could have put his mark on it last night. Justin Steele could have went out and pitched a gem and said, hey, I'm here to carry my team to the postseason. He didn't. He got pounded at home. At home! When they need the win, to the Pirates. So, I would not vote Justin. I would vote him third. He's had that great of a year. I would not sit there and just, you know, absolutely take him out of my balloting because of 1 start or whatnot. But he's struggled. And so I would take him out. The Braves fan in me is going to put Strider number one, right? But right now, in the leader in the clubhouse, honest engine, if we're being real about this, and we take our fan hat off for a second, Snell
is the leader in the clubhouse, but Strider has an opportunity because he's going to face the Washington Nationals twice the last week of the season. And if he can go out there and do the types of stuff that he did against Philadelphia the other night, go out there and get double-digit strikeouts or anything close to that, go out there and throw, you know, I call it an outstanding start as opposed to a quality start. If you can go out there and go about seven innings, two earned runs or less, double-digit strikeouts, he does that twice, it's going to be hard to vote against him. Assuming Blake Snell wants to go out there and throw a perfect game or something, but there's nothing you can do to control that. Real quick on the pitching matchups for this series. So you got Max Fried versus Jake Irvin tonight. You've got, now Jake Irvin comes in with a 3-6 record, 4.34 ERA. Tomorrow night, Charlie Morton versus Patrick Corbin. We have bombed Patrick Corbin in the past. He's a left-handed hitter. You know what we do to left-handed pitching. Charlie Morton, Patrick Corbin, that should be a win. Max Fried, Jake Irvin, that should be a win. The big question mark is going to be Saturday, Kyle Wright versus, I believe he pronounces it Joan Adon, but I could be wrong on that. It's spelt like Joan, like J-O-A-N, but I'm pretty sure I've heard it pronounced Joan Adon. But he is 2-3 with a 6.28 ERA. And you can go, man, that sucks. And Kyle Wright's 0-3 with a 7.71. That really sucks. So that's going to be a high-scoring game. For the games that we are not doing, because we're dialing it back a bit as we go down the stretch here, we will put the chat up for Braves Country HD so y'all can chat throughout the play, the tail end of the season. But we're going to try to do some production on those nights. And honestly, we haven't gotten a ton of views and likes on a lot of these. So we're kind of letting the market dictate that. We will bring you Friday night's game. We're going to bring you the entire Chicago Cubs series because it's a big series, not only for the Braves to get right the last week of the season, but also it's a big series for the Cubs. And so when we do Cubs games, we usually get a pretty good amount of Cubs viewers as well. So we're going to bring you that as well. And then we're going to bring you next Friday night's game. The only way this changes next weekend is if the Braves need a W to sew up like the National League best record or something like that. If that happens, we're going to take a look at it and see what's going on. But it's really hard to compete with the football and whatnot. Folks just aren't coming to the channel, and they're not liking it. And you have spoken. And so if you don't want it, we're not going to give it to you. What's the point? We're just spinning our wheels. We'll work on other things. Get ready for a very busy postseason. We'll obviously bring you every single game of the postseason, come hell or high water. And then as far as leading up to the postseason, for the Braves postseason, we are going to do some stuff. I just have to wait till the postseason schedule gets released for me to figure out what games I may do, what series, and kind of go from there. So the last weekend is up in the air as far as what may or may not be done. We will put the chat up regardless. And the beginning of the postseason, I don't know how it's going to be played out, but I'm planning on doing quite a few hours of content, you know, quite a few games before the Braves hit the pavement. So, you know, most likely Philadelphia's series, but it really depends on what time are those games, who are they playing, is the series a blowout? You know, a game two, I think it's more important to bring you the best game two as opposed to just tell you that it's going to be a game two of whatever series. And it'll be more ideal to figure out, all right, well, what times are these games going to play? Because remember, we didn't see it unfold the way it normally will last year because of the lockout. A lot of folks, in fact, some of the folks who have been on this channel recently, you know, kind of forgot that, because the lockout pushed the season till a Wednesday. And the only reason why I remember this stuff is because I was doing every game. So the end of the season ended on a Wednesday. The postseason started on a Friday afternoon. And they were pushing hard to get us through the postseason, through the World Series, and make sure we weren't playing into November, right? So this year, they've got a couple of days to play with, so to speak. So my guess would be we're going to get games Tuesday through Thursday. But I'm not 100% sure, because they've been really vague on the playoff series, first round, the dates, and how it's all going to unfold. Because I honestly think that they're going to sit back and wait to see what markets are playing, what time would be the best time to get the most eyeballs on the TV, et cetera, et cetera. When you look at the teams that could be playing, we're going to look at the wild card here in a second, but there's a lot of different options. But Washington, to finish this series up as far as the pitching matchups go, Washington, they are, on Sunday, they're going to face Spencer Strider. They have not announced a starter, so it could be a bullpen game. These are the Nationals. They're out of it. They could bring up a prospect. There's a number of different ways that they could go. So I do believe the Braves should win this series, bare minimum, 3 out of 4. Because the Max Fried, the Charlie Morton, and the Spencer Strider starts should be W's. If they're not, either A, the offense didn't show up, or the starting pitchers didn't show up. I think the bullpen's going to be fine one way or the other. Because Snicker has got to start being aggressive at this point with his bullpen. Because you want them in that mentality and in that mode going into October. You don't want them going, it's fine. It's fine. You got bombed. It's all right. You can't have that mentality. It's got to be, hey, you're not pitching well. Go get him. Go get him. Kranitz, get up off your ass. Go get him. So that's what I'm looking at. This series, bare minimum, 3 out of 4. Kyle Wright, I give him the edge. I think he's pitched better than his numbers. I think it was just unfair what we did to him. But with all that being said, Johan Adon, the Braves offense should go out there and pound the hell out of him. The Braves offense should go out there and put up a lot of runs against Corbin. I would think whoever they're going to face on Sunday, they'll put up a lot of runs. Jake Irvin is the best pitcher they have going in this series tonight. But Max Fried is on the mound for the Atlanta Braves. He should go out there and pitch a gem. And if he doesn't, it's going to start feeling like 2022 again, where you're like, they're running out of gas. What the hell? And I'm sorry, at some point you got to point to Snicker and you got to say, what the hell are you doing wrong to get these guys mentally? Because the talent is there. What are you doing to not get them mentally ready? I'm giving them a pass, but I want to see what these next 10 games are like. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the playoff picture, who the matchups may be for the Braves. There's a lot to dissect, because that National League wild card, I mean, they're going in 5 wide into the turn. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
I think you should retire.
Come on, Frank.
I'm sorry, but Marie is my wife. And if I can't support her in this, then she'll be like an ice pick in my ear until I die.
Well, the season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays, 10 a.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. Right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterbacks.
You're a cop, huh?
No, what I am, Sonny, is about 50 pounds heavier and one hell of a lot meaner, so you better straighten up your act. I don't think I like you.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey, and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern Sports Talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
Whenever I bring home Entenmann's Little Bites muffins...
Little Bites?
That's right, sweetie. Can you just give Mommy a minute?
I love Little Bites!
I know you do, but we're doing a commercial right now, okay?
Got it.
As I was saying, whenever I bring home you-know-what, you-know-who gets pretty excited. And so do I. Little Bites muffins are made with real ingredients. No high fructose corn syrup and are baked moist and delicious.
I love Little Bites!
There you go.
Yes!
Entenmann's Little Bites muffins. The perfect portion of happiness.
This is to anybody watching the Alabama game right now against South Florida, who lost to Western Kentucky in week one. We're riding the struggle bus. What in the buffoonery and gainery is this? Is Mike Shula the coach again? I don't know what's going on. But anyway, this is sad and pathetic. Roll Tide anyway, but like, ugh!
Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit the field, and every man feels like a boy, and every wife could kill.
You're in Braves country.
Braves country, what a tangled web we weave when we try to win the National League. Good Lord. Looking at the magic numbers, breaking that down for everybody who doesn't feel like doing math, fair enough. Who the hell wants to do that? The Atlanta Braves, so right now the hard numbers would be this. Atlanta is 2 in front of Baltimore, 3.5 in front of the Dodgers. We're 2 games in front of the Orioles in the loss column, 3 in front of the Dodgers in the loss column. The Dodgers will play one more game than Atlanta down the stretch. They will not have a day off for the rest of the season if you count next week, Thursday. They have a 4-game series against San Francisco as opposed to a 3-game series that the Braves will play next weekend. So that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where everything will even up at, or should, assuming weather. All right. You're looking at this. The Braves' magic numbers, pretty simple. So for folks who don't understand how you get there, once again, it's 163 is the number you take. You take away the Braves' wins, we're sitting at 97. That gives you a 66. You subtract the Dodgers' number. So let's do the National League first. You subtract the Dodgers' number of losses, and they have 58. That gives you a typical magic number of 8, but here's the caveat. We have the tiebreaker. So our real magic number, though it's never been played, put into place in Major League Baseball this way, because no one ever paid attention to a lot of things, and mainly the tiebreakers, because everything was won on the field before they got their grubs all over this, their mitts all over it, and started putting everybody in the playoffs. But the important thing is Braves' magic number to clinch the National League's best record, and I still say that is the most important one, is 7. I don't know if the Dodgers are going to get out of the NLDS, but I feel like they will. I feel like they're going to probably face Milwaukee, and they will have the firepower to beat Milwaukee. And if that is the case, we want to have a better record than the Dodgers. That's all that really matters. And when it's all said and done, that's all that really matters. Now, where are we at for the best record in baseball? You take that same 66, and you get that 66 once again, 163 games, because you add one, always for a magic number, and the Braves have 197, so that gets you 66. You take that 66, you take the Baltimore's 57, and the magic number is 9. But we have the tiebreaker on Baltimore. We beat them head-to-head, so it's really 8. So 7-8, that's what we're looking at. If you really want to play this out forward, if you really want to get this further down the line, you worry about Tampa Bay possibly grabbing the lead, okay, fair enough, to eliminate Tampa Bay. Although, once again, we've got the tiebreaker on them. So that magic number is actually 5 for Tampa Bay. They have 3 more losses in the loss column than Baltimore. So 5-7-8. If you really want to get concerned about it, I wouldn't be, because I don't think Tampa's going to catch them. But 5-7-8. 5-7-8, meaning Tampa Bay with the 5, Los Angeles with the 7, and Baltimore with the 8. That's the magic numbers. And we have 10 games left. Now, if Baltimore goes on a tear, then we might have to put the pedal down. I don't think we do. I don't think we give a damn. I think we care about getting the National League, and we'll let the chips fall where they may in the American League. And if it means Baltimore gets an extra game in the World Series over us, that'll be a good problem to have. We'll worry about that when we get there. But I don't think that we worry about that. I think we focus on the Dodgers. And once the Dodgers gets clinched, once you clinch that up, then you'll worry about it when it gets there. But if you do want to look at who they have playing tonight, Baltimore is in Cleveland. The Dodgers start their series against the Giants. So tonight you're talking about Giants, Dodgers. You're talking about, remember, the Dodgers just recently clinched a first round bye. They've got their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. We're not the only team who's scuffling. I was reading an article from 1 or 2 days ago, maybe it was a little longer than that, but it was Houston fans freaking out because they had lost, listen to this, back-to-back series against Kansas City and Oakland this late in the season. You'd think we wouldn't be freaking the hell out if that was going on in Braves country? Of course we would. So we're not the only team who scuffles down the stretch. These are the dog days of summer. The reason why your typical Braves fan on social media and wherever you see them, complain and whatnot and whine and, scream at the clouds, the angry man scream. It's because they don't follow any other team. Most people only follow their team in a vacuum because they have these things called lives around it. They don't know what the hell's going on in Chicago. They don't know what the hell's going on in Philadelphia. They don't know what's being done in Houston. They have no idea. The Baltimore fans are a little worried about the fact that they're 5-5 over the last 10. They don't know that Tampa Bay fans, as happy as they were after the first 2 games, were pissed off at the last 2 games in Baltimore. They could have walked out of there tied for the division lead. Instead, they went out two back. So all these things come into play. So with that being said, Atlanta going through the same types of things. You see good teams scuffle going into the playoffs every year. The difference of this year and last year was last year we scuffled after we clinched it the next series. The problem was that series was in the postseason. We're scuffling now. Let's get it together. Let's get it turned around. But what's going on in the next this weekend? The Dodgers are hosting the Giants. Baltimore is in Cleveland. And these are four-game series for both. So they're going to close the gap on the magic number one way or the other. Because either A, the Braves are going to get some W's, and these other teams will get some L's, and you'll see that magic number dwindle very quickly. Or you get the other, where you see we get some L's, they get some W's. And you're like, oh, holy hell. We're tied or whatever have you coming out of the weekend. Or you get the other, where we all get L's or we all get W's, and there's not a lot of movement one way or the other. But what does happen for the Atlanta Braves is that the calendar starts to shorten. So time is on our side. If Baltimore or the Dodgers are going to catch us, the pressure's on them to win and scoreboard watch. The Braves can put some pressure, and they can actually manipulate what the Dodgers are doing out west because we play early. They play the late games. Atlanta Braves, they get on the board with the W. Dodgers, it's human nature. Dodger players are looking up at that score. It can be a bummer to go to the park because, man, we can't even gain any ground. And we're absolutely running out of calendar. So from that perspective, we have a huge advantage. Let's also not lie. We've got an advantage that we are playing the Washington Nationals 7 of the last 10 games of the season. We are at home 7 of the last 10 games of the season. Or, I'm sorry, 6 of the last 10. These four are in Washington. So all those play into effect. And the Braves are going to start tightening up their rotation. You notice this weekend, we don't have a scrub scheduled. It's Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Wright, and Strider. Those are guys that they expect to lean on in the playoffs. We're not getting, you know, a Jared Schuster being pushed out there. Now, if you look at what's going on next week, how's everybody line up? And these will obviously be important. By the way, it's very interesting. Next week, all the teams that I just mentioned, the Dodgers, Tampa Bay even, Baltimore, nobody, even Atlanta, nobody plays on Monday. So it's literally a day to unplug. If you're a Braves fan, you're like, man, oh man alive. This is going to be a rough stretch. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Monday, recharge your batteries. Do something else that's not baseball. You might want to do something that's not even football related. It's not that great of a Monday night football game. It's Rams and Bengals, and they don't even know if Burrow is going to play. So my advice to you would be unplug. Do something outside. Maybe grill out a little bit. Recharge the batteries. I know that's what I'm planning on doing. And then, you know, maybe you go to the movies. Whatever. Because then the home stretch comes. And Tuesday, We're going to be home against the Cubs. It's going to have a playoff type feel because Cubs, there's going to be a lot of Cubs fans in that stadium. Justin Steele pitched well against us. I know he pitched terribly against Pittsburgh last night, but against us, pitched well, very well. Right now, it's scheduled for him and Bryce Elder to go head-to-head. A good litmus test for Bryce Elder, to be honest with you. But big picture, the Braves are at home against the Cubs. Beginning of this of the week. The Dodgers are at the Rockies, and it is a doubleheader. Now that's interesting. It's in Colorado too. Now that's an interesting thing right there because the Dodgers and that's essentially gonna make up the ground. But man, that can put a beating on your bullpen. I don't think the Dodgers are putting their best foot forward in that doubleheader. Rockies, there'll be guys out there playing for their contracts for next year, so we might get some help in that Dodgers Rockies series. And Baltimore during this time period, beginning of next week, they're at home against Washington. So they kind of get – now, the one thing about that is that's a rivalry because it's a cross-city rivalry essentially. Washington, D.C., for those of you who aren't geography nuts, Washington, D.C., and Baltimore are essentially neighbors. And so never had a great rivalry feeling to it. But in theory, that's their natural rival. So then you look at next weekend. By the way, all three of those Braves-Cubs games, they're all night games. And we are doing all three of them. I mentioned earlier, but we are doing all three of them if you're just joining us. The games that we're not doing, we will do the chat because I know folks want to chat during the game. And we don't have any problem with, you know, putting up the chat, whatnot, but considering the level of interest that we've gotten on some of these games recently, we just kind of figure, you know, everyone needs to maybe, you know, get a break from us. And so we're gonna put the chat up on Braves Country HD, but we're not going to do the games. We're not doing tonight's game. We are going to put the chat up because it's Max Fried. But there's an NFL game going on that there's a lot of interest in. So there's that. We are doing Friday night's game. I know we went over this earlier, but real quick. We will put the chat up for Saturday's game. Saturday's a weird one. It's an early game in a big day of college football. 1:05 first pitch. You can tell Washington, D.C. is making these decisions because they don't have a damn clue what's going on in college football. You can kind of rinse and repeat that that statement. Washington, D.C. doesn't know what the hell's going on anytime, anywhere. But all jokes aside, and then the Sunday game comes in right in the middle of all the NFL kickoffs. And so we will put the chat up for that. But the Friday night game we're bringing to you, every Cubs game we're bringing to you, and the first game of the Washington series next Friday night we're bringing to you. The chat will be up for the others. If it's of importance, we may bring you the final game of the season, but it's got to be important. It's got to be like, you know, we need this win to do X. If not, then we'll just put the chat up. And that's a fun day in baseball if you got a dog in the hunt. But if you're a team like the Braves, you're spinning your wheels, it's not that fun. But if you got a dog in the hunt, that is a fun day of baseball because they start every game, for folks who don't know this, they start every single game at 3 o'clock. And they do that so no one has a competitive advantage. So teams out west are starting at noon Eastern. Teams in the east are starting at 3 Eastern. But everybody starts at 3 o'clock. And that's fun. That's really fun. But like I said, there's most likely Braves will have everything wrapped up one way or the other and won't be playing for anything that day. So middle of the week, next week, Dodgers at the Rockies, Braves host the Cubs. And Baltimore hosts Washington, what that tells you is from a competitive advantage, we have a much better competitive advantage this weekend because the Dodgers are playing a good team in the Giants. The Orioles are playing a solid team in Cleveland. We're playing the Nationals. Next week, early part, it flips the script. We're playing a good team in the Cubs. They're facing the Rockies and they're facing the Nationals, respectively. So then what does next weekend look like? By the way, that series with Washington with Baltimore is only a two-game series, Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, they begin a series. They're at home against the Red Sox. The Dodgers will be finishing up the Rockies series, and we'll be finishing up the Cubs series. But when you hit Friday, Baltimore will once again be hosting the Red Sox. We will be hosting the Nationals, and the Dodgers will be at the Giants, and the Giants will be fighting for their playoff lives. They're still in that wild card race. And I continue to pull for them for the simple fact that I want these games to matter to them. I really want these games to matter to them. I don't want these games to turn into a nightmare where you're looking at the Giants packing it in. Yeah, there is that rivalry where they would like to knock out the Dodgers from anything that they could knock them out for at the very end. But the Giants, who have been playing really bad, I mean, they've lost 4 of their last 10. They're on a two-game losing streak. They've got to get their head out of their ass, is what it comes down to. Honestly, for San Francisco to have we're going to look at the actual wild card standings right now. For San Francisco to have an honest chance to make a wild card slot, and it's dwindling, but the lucky thing for them is, I was joking with a buddy of mine this last night, big Cubs fan, and I said, dude, nobody's trying to win. They're all losing their asses off. But the Giants come into tonight's action 3 games out of the wild card. Hell, San Diego has almost caught them. San Diego's on a 7-game winning streak, for folks who haven't paid attention to that. I still don't think San Diego's going to be able to muster enough to leapfrog all these teams, but what is real about this is San Francisco's almost gotten caught by San Diego. They come in to Thursday's action 76-76. They have played poorly the second half. They're under 500 for the second half. I want to say it's 6-7 games, something like that, under 500. But they are a solid team. They're going to put their best foot forward, and we'll see what happens in the Dodgers series this week in a 4-game series. My hope is San Francisco wins 2, at least, and that helps us knock down our magic number to a bare minimum of, what would that be? That would be 5. Because right now it's 7. And then, of course, if we get some wins, let's say if San Francisco could split and we win 3 out of 4, guess what? The magic number at that point is 2, and you can pretty much book it. But you look at the National League wild card race for folks who haven't been kind of checking out. No one in the wild card, by the way, is playing outstanding baseball. The two teams that have played the best baseball in the last 10 games, if you're not counting San Diego because they're so far out of it, they're 4.5 back with the week and a half to go, and they would have to leapfrog 4 teams to get into the playoffs. We talk about this in the past, but you're not talking about just you getting smoking hot. 4 other teams in front of you, and they've already won 7 in a row, so the odds are against them to continue that win streak. But you would have to get smoking hot, and 4 teams, not 1, 4 teams would have to spit the bit. But right now, if you're looking at the playoffs, and you're looking at who is left in the National League. Philadelphia is going to get the one seed. They're 2.5 up, 3 in the loss column on Arizona for the 4 seed versus 5 seed. Very good chance. Now, I would love to see Arizona get hot. They've won 5 in a row coming in to Thursday, but the problem with that is they have a lot of questions, and they're going east. And usually for West Coast teams, that's a grind. They go to Yankee Stadium. Yankees aren't a good baseball team this year, but it's usually a grind to win in that stadium. So I'm pulling for Arizona to get the one seed. That would be great. Or Chicago. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure Philadelphia is going to get it. So Philadelphia is going to be the one seed. Arizona is 1.5 in front of the Cubs. And that would be your playoffs right now. Braves 1, Dodgers 2, Milwaukee 3. The 4 seed would be Philadelphia, the 5 seed Arizona, and the 6 seed Cubs. What that would mean in the big picture is Philly would play Arizona. The winner of that does not care about seedings. Seedings do not... We do not reseed in the baseball playoffs as of now, which is ridiculous, but we don't. Philadelphia, Arizona, that winner will play the Braves. Milwaukee, Chicago, that winner will play the Dodgers. And then obviously the winners of those two series, Braves versus Philly, Arizona winner, that takes you to the National League Championship Series. LA versus the Chicago-Milwaukee winner, that takes you to the NLCS. And that's why it's so important, because after one series, the best record in the National League will determine where the NLCS starts at. And I've heard a number of Braves talk about this. They firmly believe that had we not had home field advantage in the NLCS in 2021, they don't think we would have won it, and I concur. The Dodgers took 2 of 3 out there from us. It was a different electric atmosphere, and the Braves crumbled. We should have won 2 of 3. Luke Jackson threw that freaking tater to Cody Bellinger. Good night, Irene. And the next thing you know, we were back in a series again. But the Dodgers were facing the same Lions den when they came into Atlanta. So we need that home field advantage. We need to hold the home field advantage in the NLDS. It's going to be incredibly important. We go out there and split it like we did last time with Philly, then they get the advantage, and it is very difficult to win in Philadelphia. Holding the home field advantage is very important. But looking at the rest of the National League wild card real quick, on the outside looking in, 1/2 game behind the Cubs is Miami. 1 game behind the Cubs and 1/2 behind Miami is Cincinnati. And then you got San Francisco. They got some work to do. They're going to really have to get hot these next 10 games. I still say San Diego's out of it, but it is interesting. They've made it interesting. And they're at home against St. Louis this weekend. So if there's an opportunity to keep the wins rolling, that's it. It would be so San Diego Padre to miss out on the playoffs by a game. All right, that's going to do it for Braves Country today. Keep it locked in here on WQEE 99.1 FM. Real quick, my pick to click tonight. I'm going to go with Matt Olson. He hasn't hit one in a few days, and I think it's time for him to rock one. The Braves always hit well in that park. Give me Matt Olson. Give me the Braves to win this one 8-2. I think they're going to get it right tonight. 8-2. Max Fried back on the bump. Let's go. I might be giving them more credit than I should. It might be 8-1. It may be 8-0. But I'm going to go 8-2. All right, keep it locked in. Joey's coming out of the bullpen. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country Today. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.